Welcome to Grumpy GDPR. My name is Ria, founder of No Ties Consulting.
And my name is Miloš Novis. I'm an associate professor of law.
And hello, grumpy people. We are exceptionally grumpy today. We have just spent about 25 minutes troubleshooting our recording platforms and are calling in today via Zoom, believe it or not. And we're so snobbish that this is just not going to do it for us.
How are you doing? Oh my gosh, I'm so super grumpy. And it's more like 45 minutes.
Yeah, that is right. But in all fairness, it's server downtime. They're going to get some angry letters from us today. Trust them, believe.
In the post.
But you know what? We never wanted to... Actually, it's perfect that we got so grumpy because today's topic is something that truly calls for grumpiness. You want to tell us what we're talking about?
We are, of course, talking about consent or pay or consent or okay or whatever you want to call it.
Pay, don't pay? I don't know. I call it everything. I cannot remember consent or pay, so it's too much for me to say. So news from DDPP, yay! So we got this very recent opinion from DDPP in which they are trying to tackle the question of Facebook's new model under which people can either consent to processing of personal data for advertising purposes, behavioral advertising, or they can pay a monthly fee not to have to be subject to such advertising. So I'm curious, what are your first thoughts?
But Miloš, first of all, they didn't mention Facebook anywhere, did they?
No, they didn't. That is true. That is very true.
but it seemed very, very tailored at this one specific social media platform, right?
Absolutely. It seemed absolutely very, very tailored at Facebook. It got uncanny. Yeah. Uncanny. But yeah. That is true.
Well, it's in the word, right? It's there's lots and lots of opinions. It is an opinion.
It is an opinion. So you want to hear my first thoughts?
Shoot.
So it is horrible, but my first impression, dear ADPB, number one, when you post, this is probably your opinion number 3,561. Okay, more like 85, but I like to exaggerate.
No, they have few opinions.
Yeah. Aha, guidelines and opinions. This is an opinion, right?
Aha, yeah.
Got me there. I thought it was a guideline. Okay, cool. So number one, when you copy paste in your documents, please remember to change the fonts because we can easily see where you've copy pasted. Number two, please learn already that footnote numbers go after punctuation. It looks amateurish and unprofessional. Number three, for all of our sakes, when you click save as PDF, please use normal headings so we get a table of contents in your PDFs so that we can navigate your infinite wisdom. Thank you.
Spanning almost 50 pages with lots and lots of repetition. And you reminded me there, I have to mention that in their guidelines on consent, the footnotes are all off. So they are incorrectly numbered. So I also just recommend to take that final proofreading before publishing.
I wonder how that hangs together with the principle of accountability and fairness. In any case. So yeah, it's quite an interesting discussion though. Do you pay not to have to agree to processing of your personal data? So let's just get it out of the way. I agree with ADPB. Like, privacy should not be a luxury good for the wealthy and for the rich. How about you?
I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah.
100%.
Me too. I mean, it all harkens back to the whole Apple's, like, what happens on your iPhone stays on your iPhone. What about people who can't afford iPhones? You know, privacy, elitism and everything. Yes. So we both are on the same page. We agree with the same sentiment. Yet I'm very grumpy and very negative towards the opinion itself. You want to start off, like, let's just look into what is it about? To whom does it apply?
Yeah, so this is really important to note that this opinion only pertains to what they called large online platforms, and they reference the DSA, the Digital Services Act, Article 3.1, that I think you perhaps had a view or two on.
I have plenty of views on the DSA and on the definition itself. So let's break it down. So the first thing, let's take the GDPR aspect of it. Why are we getting separate opinions for different categories of data controllers? Like, yes, the DSA takes that approach. Different sizes of different platforms have different responsibilities. Where exactly is that found in the GDPR?
So they try to explain that in the opinion, and they also said that a representative have said and confirmed that the guidelines that are broader in scope will follow later this year, and that will apply across the board and in general for anybody subject to the GDPR.
But everything has to be in general and for anybody subject to the GDPR, though. A data controller is any, like, as they have pushed up into our faces, anybody is a data controller, and all data controllers have the same obligations as a starting point. Now, of course, you can pick processing for one purpose and say this is a more invasive processing than others. But if it's done by a very large online platform or by a local, by your carpenter, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? So that's the first thing.
Yeah, and I fully agree with that. And I think this is a huge problem because it seems to me like they've painted themselves up in a corner, as we say. Because 2018 happened, and Meta and everybody else had to reconsider their legal basis, and we know the story that followed from that. And I think the issue here is that the DPAs are desperately trying to pin down Facebook specifically, and this is an attempt of doing that, and it shines through. We all get why this opinion is, and that it is specific to Facebook. And I am just astonished that is this the way we have to do it? Is it so legally complex, everything, that we have to create this opinion that sort of applies to all large online platforms pertaining to the DSA and DMA,
So, yeah.
and where the EDPB has no specific mandate as such? Am I correct?
You are 1000% correct. And notice one thing. So, the DSA defines online platforms, which is a horrible definition in itself. Basically, any platform which is used to spread content, lots of uncertainties there. But the GDPR doesn't, as they say. Now, the DSA creates obligations for online platforms and then separate obligations for very large online platforms. Very large online platforms is not the term that the EDPB actually uses. They talk about large online platforms. Why is that? Well, because the DSA puts it as like 45 million plus, whereas here they say, well, this pertains more or less to anybody as long as it's widely used within the EU.
Or millions of data subjects.
Exactly. And who are you to call that? Because remember, the DSA has safety features here. They say you get all of these extra obligations, but you have to be designated by the EU Commission. There is a procedure for that, which you can challenge before a court, so that we know exactly, are you a large, very large online platform, or are you not? So then suddenly introducing this to the GDPR and being like, some controllers are big. How do we know? Well, we know. We just know. It's large-scale processing. And on top of that, they talk about competition law, they talk about DMA, they talk about DSA, which honestly, look into the DSA and what the European Board for Digital Services can do as consequence of everything that happened under the GDPR. They literally have zero authority. Like they can do nothing. The European Commission is taking over the supervision. And to me, it's just now you're no longer even doing just contract law. Now it's consumer protection and it's DMA and it's DSA. And if I can rant one more thing there, and I'm going to keep this brief, the DSA goes very great lengths. To give some context to the listeners, what the DSA does is that it includes rules on content recommendation, it includes rules on advertising, as in you're not allowed to show ads which are based on profiling. Based on Article 9 or of children, but it goes at great lengths to repeat 5 times at least that it applies without prejudice to the GDPR. It wants nothing to do with the GDPR. In fact, and this is something I don't do too often, I just want to read a couple of statements from the DSA. So it says, protection of individuals regarding processing of personal data is governed solely by the GDPR. That would be Recital 10. Recital 67 about dark patterns, which the EDPB evokes. Rules on dark patterns should be interpreted as covering prohibited practices falling within the scope of the DSA to the extent that they are not already covered under the GDPR. So you're dabbling into legislation which you have no competence to interpret and which explicitly says, I'm not covering this. So yes.
And not even using the same terminology. And I think this is one of the biggest issues with this opinion, that it's not based on current facts, as I see it, in this respect of the scope and also lots of what they opine about in the opinion. And it just seems to be more maybe damaging. I don't know. It remains to be seen, because they say that supervisory authorities are the ones who will uphold this going forward. Yeah. You know, they look to these opinions and guidelines. And another note from the EDPB representative was that not all of the authorities agreed.
Yeah.
And I would be very interested to see who didn't agree with this opinion. And wouldn't that necessarily then lead to different practices and enforcement across the EEA?
So absolutely. And you know, this morning I actually started drafting. So you've shared some materials with me, and I looked at a couple of videos, and EDPB said, oh, we've consulted actually with people who do competition law and consumer. So I'm going to ask them for records of like exchanges they've had with other authorities as well, because I cannot picture that the other authorities said, well, you know what, technically, you don't really have the competence, but go ahead, dabble in our field of law.
Yeah, and that should have been clearer as well. What they should have included the opinions of these other authorities when you're discussing the pricing matter, for example. So who are to determine what the appropriate level of fee is? Because the EDPB says when it's inappropriate, but what is the level of fee? And, you know, touching upon that, I just have to mention the podcast episode we did 2 years ago. Season 2, number 5, Thou Shall Not Pass, based on the Danish DPA's decisions on cookie walls for Gul og Gratis and Jyske Fynsk Medier, I believe it was. And there they said that, okay, 29 Danish kroner, which is about, let me see, I have written it down, 4 euros a month, was appropriate, whereas 99 kroner or 13 euros a month wasn't.
Right. So there, honestly, I'm going to go on another rant, because then the question is, right, I offer you consent as an option, or I give you a contract with a certain price. I get where they're coming from. Like, you cannot price it outrageously. However, this is not a call for the data protection authorities. In fact, this is something, and again, they don't know the basics. They're dabbling into the fields of law where they haven't studied the basics. The consumer protection law, under the directive of unfair terms, the very old one, 93-94, basically says, and once again, they made me do something I never wanted to do in my life. Article 4, assessment of the unfair nature of the term, so by the courts, right, shall relate neither to the definition of the main subject matter of the contract, nor to the adequacy of price. The idea being, the courts don't get to say, or don't really get to judge. Member states can deviate, but under EU law, you can't have a court saying you paid too much or too little for this. Because people get to decide, right? They have the freedom to price the goods and to say yes or no. And now suddenly, so we have an EU directive on consumer law saying you're not going to assess if a price is fair. And then, poof, you know what? We have GDPR.
You know, I think the basic premise must be that any business must be able to decide for themselves their business model and how much to charge for their products and services. And nobody should expect anything for free. Ref the whole discussion on a free and open internet. Well, it's not like that anymore, because our entire lives are based on the internet and we can't expect anything for free. You know, we are running businesses for profit to make a living, to live a life ourselves. And this is in the very GDPR itself, in Recital 4 that I keep referring to and referring to and referring to, that you also have the right to conduct a business. And this is really, you know, I'm getting really aggravated, because I am running a business myself. But on the flip side, I also acknowledge that Facebook came in, what was early 2000, 2004, 2005. I've had a Facebook account since probably 2008 or something. And then you have people on the social media that is so dominant in the global market and you've had an account there for maybe 15, almost 20 years, and then all of the sudden you are expected to pay. And of course, this follows from 2018 and the GDPR coming along, and or 2016, and Facebook or Meta being forced to change their business model because of changing laws and regulations. So I'm really conflicted on this, but I think the key point that I'm trying to make here is that I think that this is a Meta Facebook problem.
It is.
I don't think it is a GDPR problem. And I think the core issue is that the EDPB and the DPAs are trying to force thing into the GDPR for the sake of this one single player.
Exactly. No, but this is how they massacred contractual necessity. And this is, honestly, it is a deeply undemocratic hit on one company, which is so deeply problematic. I don't care about Facebook. I do not like their business model. But this is a question for the legislators to decide. If we want to ban targeted ads, there were plenty of opportunities to ban targeted ads. Now, we do know that Directive on Supply of Digital Services says, you know what, we recognize that sometimes people pay with personal data. While it is not a commodity in itself, here these are the rules on how that should be done. We then have the Bundeskartellamt judgment, which also says, well, if reasonable against the fee, fine. We have the DSA, which also goes along the same lines, saying, well, this is the type of ads you can't show, but it never really gets into that discussion. So the point is, this is for legislators. If they want to ban targeted ads, people have voted, and then the legislators make that decision. So reality check.
Yeah, I just got hung up on one thing you mentioned, something about undemocratic attack on one player or something along those lines. And I might have misheard that. But I just want to say that in my view, Facebook or Meta has been exploiting our personal data for decades.
It has.
They deserve nothing less. Like, I mean, I don't pity them at all.
No.
Like, I wouldn't, like, I don't know if that's what you meant or if I misheard, but undemocratic in the same
Look,
sentence as Meta.
We agree. So if Meta has actually breached the GDPR, slap them with the GDPR fine. However, if you want to push this nonsensical point, personal data is not a tradable commodity, through, if you want to say it's illegal to have ads where people blah, 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 if you want to ban the business model, let's put it that way, then you cannot do it this way. You're trying to use the GDPR against Facebook, for whom I have no sympathy, but you're bending the legal framework to get Facebook. And that is where the problem
yes.
is.
Exactly. I think you said it so well there. You're bending the legal framework to get Facebook. I think it shines through. Everybody gets that this is about Facebook or Meta. And it follows from the long chain of the whole background of this case and the numerous fines and the numerous court appearances and all following from this. So, you know, what can we do about this?
Honestly, I don't know. So this is one of those dangerous opinions. And again, it just shows how all of this undermines the rule of law, because you have so many small things weaved through this opinion. And I hope we'll touch base about some of them today. But I don't know what the takeaway for controllers is, because there is lots of dangerous stuff weaved in through there. Like, you have to refresh your consents periodically from time to time, which, again, I don't really remember the legal text ever mentioning. So even if you're not a very large online platform, you're still influenced by the authorities making up the law as they go.
Yeah. And they said 1 year in this opinion, and they don't substantiate that whatsoever. They don't provide any background or facts as to why should it be 1 year. So I also found that really strange. Should we have a quick discussion on what constitutes detriment? Because I found that to be really interesting, and I'm conflicted here as well.
So detriment, just if I recall correctly, for you to be able to give your consent or pay, the consent needs to be entirely freely given. For it to be freely given, obviously there can be no consequences for you. No consequences is the detriment part, right?
Yeah, and the thing is that they say without any negative consequences or without the service being downgraded.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, they go into a discussion about what this detriment could look like. So, for example, in the opinion, they refer to being excluded from the service. So if we talk about that, then, okay, you have this service and they say that people have been pretty much what I said. You know, you've been using Facebook for years and years. You use it to agree soccer practice for your kids. You agree pickup and carpooling and whatever events, you know, you have all your friends and your family there. So I absolutely appreciate and I agree with the perspective that it could be detrimental because you are taken away from something that you always had access to without paying a fee. And Facebook being the platform that it is, at least for our generation and the generations around us that has been so dependent on this platform. So yes, from that perspective, I agree. But it's very, again, Facebook specific.
I agree again about the perspective. I fully agree about the sentiment. But once again, this is my personal opinion. And this is not a part of the GDPR. This is not a GDPR issue. So if we look, if I leave Facebook and Facebook has dominant position in the market, we have all sorts of competition law issues, consumer law issues. At the end of the day, the question is simple. Do we hate this business model so much? The answer for most of us privacy folks is yes. And again, we're back at the same story of who gets to make that call. So yes, you can't leave Facebook. There is going to be a detriment for you. I agree. But look, most of people who are listening to this podcast probably know that they're being tracked and still have a Facebook profile.
Yeah, but I'd argue that most, you know, normal people, those aren't that interested in the privacy and data protection as us. Like, I've done this experiment for about a year now that I ask anyone that I randomly come into contact with, be it my hairdresser or whatever it is, are you aware of this and that? It started with the when Facebook tried or Meta tried the contract legal basis, and nobody of the regular folks that I spoke to understood that they had actually entered into an agreement. And none of them, and of course, this is completely anecdotal, non-scientific at all, but it gives me an idea of what people outside of our space, how they perceive Facebook and advertising and personalized advertising.
That is perfectly, I really didn't know. Genuinely, you surprised me there, because my impression was always like everybody knows that Facebook tracks them. Like, it's so much in the media that, you know, most people do expect this. But actually, this is really funny because I had an idea this morning. I thought I'm going to pitch this to you because now they're saying, no, there is no informed consent. No, you did not inform people about contractual necessity. The solution maybe for Facebook is just to place like a huge red banner. We will be tracking you and say legitimate interest. And we're back to square fucking one.
But then everybody would opt out, so they wouldn't like that, right?
yeah, right. I forgot about that. Damn it. Look.
You have to give the information and the opportunity to object anyway. So,
right.
But yeah, I don't know what the way forward is, but I'll also mention on my unscientific research that a few years back, like 2 or 3 years ago, I started doing the same with newsletter analytics. If you can see if people opened and or clicked links, etc. And none of the people that I spoke to either had any idea that even in newsletters from commercial actors, they didn't know they were being tracked. So I think that, you know, there's a lot of opinions here as well. And I'd love to see a broader study. I've mentioned this on the podcast before. What are reasonable expectations and what do people actually know?
And it's good that that is a part of the GDPR. It's good that it's part of assessment. That should be discussed. That should be talked about. That should be a part of the evaluation, naturally. It is the general data protection regulation, right? But then again, there is a general and then there is like, I don't know, all encompassing, or like, I don't know what's more general than general, but you know, when everything
reaching,
like when you said refreshing of consent, of course I can justify it. like, give me 3 minutes, I will tell you immediately. Principle of fairness, and it's not really informed if you don't refresh it. There it comes, new provision. So I don't know. But what are your thoughts about other business models? Do you see this perhaps down the line creating bad precedent for other things like customer retention or things like that, potentially?
So there is an option to do other forms of advertising. And this is something that the opponents of anything that the EDPB comes with tend to forget as well. They don't broaden their perspective either, and they don't discuss other options either. For example, when I tested a Facebook subscription for a month, I was just given the option no ads or personalized ads. But I wanted an option where I could accept ads like Google. You can opt out of personalized ads, but still see ads. So they could be, for example, contextual. And of course, that could entail some form of tracking as well, but not the form of tracking that you have in behavioral advertising as it is defined in this opinion, following from Working Party 171, I think, on OBA. So I would challenge the big players, because they are always claiming that this will destroy their business model. They won't make any money. But have they ever tried, like, a pilot? But Facebook, they've been piloting lots of stuff over all the years, right? Why can't they pilot for a market within the EEA, certain countries, only contextual advertising, for example, or other forms of advertising that's not personalized?
I felt very attacked when you say people who criticize EDPB who don't broaden their views. I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about you. No, I was thinking about all the LinkedIn networks.
I shall never speak with you again. seriously, though, I agree with you, but I also disagree. And I disagree because that's kind of the underlying point of this opinion. You should offer no free advertising. I don't remember what they call it. Like an alternative with contextual advertising. And to me, no. Why? Like, maybe I do not want to. Look, I'm selling apples on the street. Apples might be poisonous, might be horrible for everybody. But until they're banned, I'm free to say, I'm going to keep selling apples. No, I do not want to sell oranges. It's the same with Facebook. Perhaps they can offer non-personalized ads, but who are you to make me? Like, I'm selling this. Until it's illegal, I'm going to keep selling it. So,
And this is the problem. This is the core problem, that if you want to ban the business model, ban the business model. Don't try to create opinions, guidances, and other stuff that's non-legally binding to get this one actor. And I can have so many opinions about Facebook and Meta generally, and how invasive their practices have been, and how I despise them. Not personally, of course, but yeah. The concept and the business model. But I agree, we can't try to leverage certain regulations that aren't necessarily right. Like, it's not the ones to be leveraged.
It's just a slippery slope at the end of the day. Where does it stop? And we don't like this one business model. Okay, which one is the next? So,
yeah.
But I think that there are a couple of things there which really, really are important for everybody else. And everybody should read through the opinion. So we just skimmed through the most kind of outrageous EDPB stuff today. But I just have to take a look because I know I noticed the refreshing of consent. There was also a couple of other things. I don't think we have the time to get into them today, but which could be relevant for others as well. So the general statements that... there should be kind of this evaluation of what is too expensive, how you're treating data subjects. Are you really offering them a free alternative? I fear that is very much a slippery slope, and there are good discussions in the opinion which should be read. I have never been this grumpy or horrible to authorities in my life, and I've been horrible so far.
But I think that, like, the sentiment that they are conveying as well, like the EDPB representative on that LinkedIn video saying that the first thing they should do is to consider whether they could offer it for free. And I just, that is, doesn't sit well with me at all. For Facebook, maybe, for everybody else, right, almost, you know, that can't be the basic premise when you are running a business. So I'm not going to get into that again. I think that is a good note to wrap it up on. We could sit here for an hour and discuss over this, but I think we agree in principle, yeah, with regards to the fundamental human rights and the right to a privacy, private life and data protection, but we can't try to create new legal boundaries based on what one single player is doing in the market.
Right. And then opinions and guidelines, it's not something you can challenge in court. And yeah, basically at some point it does become a witch hunt. So I fully agree with you. And I think we have been excessively grumpy. I have been excessively grumpy, but sometimes grumpiness is called for. We're going to dive a bit deeper into this opinion and look into equivalency of content and stuff down the line. But for now, I think that that would be all from us. Do you have any kind of burning things we've forgotten?
No, I think that is enough for today. So thanks, everybody, and catch you next time.
Thank you. We'll be less grumpy and we'll talk soon. Bye.